What is going on, everybody? This is your man TZ Jones in the building. I am back for another exclusive episode of TZ's Table. Once again, I am not in my office. I am in a remote location in front of a purple curtain. Do not ask why I'm in front of a purple curtain. No color discretion or discrimination there. Just I'm in front of a purple curtain. I'm not in my office, and I kind of like it better over here because I have more space. Anyway. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode, youtube.com/SwearCityPodcast. Make sure you guys subscribe. This is the TZ's Table Edition. You guys already know here through the playlist, I bring all my friends, homies, people of all forms of entertainment onto this show. Thank you once again to the great company, AEW, for all you do for me, all the promotion, the plugs, the music that you hear every week when it plays. I've worked hard. And all my friends that, you know, have come onto this platform and are continuing to come on this platform to give me a minute of their time. And one plug before I get into my lovely guest, who is my friend, who I've known for a long time. You guys can also check out this Orlando's Guardian shirt. I have right now the official theme song for the Orlando Guardians XFL team. If you guys can tune in to all iTunes, by the time this episode is out, you guys will be able to hear it on all streaming platforms right now. Check it out. I work hard. I find a way each and every time. I will find a way. So you guys make sure you show love to that. Hit all the distributive platforms, show love, Orlando Guardians XFL team. I will be at a majority of the games that I can make because I have kids and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm around. And make sure you guys show love. Now, we are going to get to my friend, somebody who I met in the West Coast over in her neck of the woods at a wonderful Defy show. This is, she was actually live on the platform with me and Swerve when we were doing our indie travels. A long time ago, and now she is in the wonderful company of AEW, as you see her each and every Wednesday, Friday, and things of that nature, and the pay-per-views. You see her in the video game development department, you see her doing a podcast, you see her in the ring holding court all over the world. One of my good friends in the game, someone I've known for a long time. She's never changed, she's always been humble. Miss Aubrey Edwards, what is the word? How are you doing? What is going
on? I'm doing great. First off, congratulations. That friggin' Orlando theme song thing for XFL, that's friggin' huge, man. Like, congrats. I've always respected your hustle. You've always been killing it. And I'm glad that, like, we were talking before on this about, like, just connections with people. Like, we don't talk often, but we talk, like, every few months or so. Like, one, like, you'll send a message and it's just like, man, it's so good to hear from you. It's cool to see successful people doing successful things and being themselves in that process. So good for you, man. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you. I always try to, you know, it's funny the way I do things. Sometimes I'm on my Facebook Messenger or my Instagram and I look at stories or I look at my Messenger to see who's active. And I haven't talked to them in a while. Let me see how they do. That's it. You know what I mean? Because it's right there. You look at it and it's like, okay, something in my head clicks. This is a person I know. Let me just send a message to say how they're doing. You know what I mean? I'm not asking for anything. Just how you been? You know what I mean? And that's important because people of your stature, my stature, a lot of people want to get put in position and a lot of people want to get on, but a lot of people don't know how to maintain relationships. And I will throw it, you know, I love to throw an opportunity to anyone that could take it. But at the same time, you know what I mean? I'm still a human being. Ask how I'm doing. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure you, in your position, you get that a lot. So the first question is, how do you balance that? How do you balance the friendships? Because you got a lot of friendships in the game with people that are in your peer class and also people that, you know, want opportunities as well. How do you balance that in your work-life relationships with people and knowing when to give the right people the right opportunity?
I think it was something I initially learned in my previous career as a game developer, because that whole industry is very much like wrestling, where it's who you know and it's about nepotism. Like, I never applied for a job in the same way that, like, you go to the website, you apply to the job, submit your resume. It's always like, oh, I got a buddy that works there. Hey, do you like it? Cool. Here's my resume. And you just kind of come in backdoor interview and do the whole thing. It's all who you know. And part of that is all just the concept of networking. It's making relationships with people. It's maintaining those relationships, even if it's just sending a message every 6 months, hey, how you doing? But I think part of becoming an adult, and now, like, I just turned 36, so I'm kind of at this, like, point in my life where I'm looking at everything and assessing, like, who I am as a human being and who I am as I get older, because I feel like an actual adult now. It's understanding that you're not going to have close friends with everybody, and that sometimes those close friends you have will change. Like, I've only really kept a couple people close to me since I left video games full time. A lot of my like college roommates, I'm still very close with. One of my best friends, we worked at three different companies together. I text him every day. But most of the people I interact with are now wrestling. And it's one of those realities of like, hypothetically speaking, if I ever left wrestling, a lot of these people I wouldn't talk to regularly. People that are well, who I consider my best friends in wrestling. And just kind of coming to terms with that. Like people come in and out of your life. You don't have to maintain the level of friendships you do with everybody because you yourself as a person grow and change. And I think expecting people to be the person they were for you when you met is doing a disservice to both yourself and to them. So I think it's just a matter of like, I maintain friendships by living in the moment and also realizing I only have so many hours in a day. There are certain people I'm like realistically going to prioritize over others. And I think the people that understand that concept are the ones that I jive with the most because some people just get hurt by it. And it's like, I'm sorry. Like, I'd love to be friends with everybody, but I also have a marriage I'm trying to maintain and I'm on the road 200 days out of the year.
Yeah, that's the thing, man, about going through your journey and going into this, and what you said is 100% true, is that in this world that we're in, you know what I mean? There's different people that stay in your life for different chapters for different reasons. And there's nothing wrong with being able to say, okay, you know what I mean? This is what this is for, and when I leave, this is what that is for. You know, and completely keeping the 100% totally separate. I'm more of an empath person, so I struggled with that. I had to learn that on how to balance it. You know what I mean? And
Right.
everybody's not your day ones like that. Everybody's in the business or whatever business to do what they're supposed to do, and then they go home and go about their regular lives. They're going to get as much as they can out of the situation, and then they're gone. You know what I mean? And I had to grow grips with that to understand that. You know what I mean? That everybody in business, and it's like a chess piece in a chessboard. People's positions change in your life depending on what you're looking for, depending on what you're, obtaining or trying to obtain. And then there's certain people in your life, a few people that stick through there regardless, but they don't, they're not looking at you for what you do, what you have, financially, what you got. They are there for you just to be there for you, and they care for you. You know what I mean? You ain't got to talk every day. You know what I mean? But you get it. And then, like you said, I have a lot of my friends that are in the music industry that we cool. You know what I mean? We don't have to be cool every day, but I know once this stops, I'm going to my kids and my day one friends and the people that, and that's okay. I think people
Yes.
make this big thing out of it because people think everybody's just supposed to, you're just supposed to like go to your grave with everyone, and life doesn't work that way, you know?
No, you can't have a day one and then expect that person to be the day one forever because
Right.
shit happens. I don't know if I can swear on here.
Yeah, do your thing.
Awesome, cool. But like for instance, you mentioned having kids. Like I don't have kids. So my friends that do have kids, their lives change. And the priorities in their lives change. And if I want to maintain friendships with them, I have to change my priorities because I now know that their kids are in my life. So we're all sort of making sacrifices to build those friendships because of the reality of being human. And like your chessboard example, like we all move through life differently. Like the way a pawn moves through the world is different than a bishop, is different than a knight, is different than a queen. So we all sort of have to work together and make sure that we can move together in harmony. In order to be an efficient team, if you don't, then you're just going to lose.
Now here's my question for you, because this is something that I've seen, you know what I mean? Thank you for the compliment about, my grind and hard work, you know what I mean? Certain people like us, and seeing your journey and seeing my journey, some of us, a lot of us have to take the stairs. We don't get the elevator to just, some people get that, and good for them. But for people like us, we have to constantly take the stairs, and everything that we're doing, we have to fight for our respect. We have to fight for every little piece that we get, and it takes people like us, me and you, to work twice as hard to get it. How do you feel about your journey to where you got to where you're at? Do you feel like you had to work twice as hard? Do you feel like there were certain things that you were given or you weren't given? How has your journey been to being, you know what I mean, a standout referee in AEW? How did that point come?
I mean, one of the obvious things without it hasn't been said, but like how many women are in my role at the highest level? There's me at AEW, there's Aja and Jess at WWE, and now there's Allie at Impact. So there's four people at the highest level. And that's it in 40, 50, 60 years of wrestling. We're it. So you can't do like one day someone will do a documentary on referees in wrestling, right? You can't have that conversation without talking about us. So it's sort of one of those, I'm always having that in the back of my mind. And there's other people that just aren't thinking about that because that's not the lived experience they have. I've been really lucky in the fact that when I came up into wrestling, I was very supported. Seattle is a very inclusive and a very supportive environment, especially the Seattle wrestling scene. Like you're very familiar with it, having been out to Defy and being friends with Swerve. Like you've seen it firsthand, like how supportive that group is. So when I came into wrestling, I didn't think much of it. But having been in a previously male-dominated industry and being told, well, you do these things like this. And I'm like, I was literally in a meeting with dudes who did the same thing and you praise them for being assertive, yet you're calling me a bitch. Like, this is fucked up.
Right.
And I was a little worried going into wrestling that I was going to run into that. And I have in some points. But one of the things I noticed early on is when I would try to like get bookings at places and say, hey, here's my stuff. Here's a couple matches. Here's my resume, headshots. They go, yeah, we'd love to have you ref some of the women's matches on our roster. And I'm like, why just the women's matches? Like, why can't I be just an authority figure? Right? Like in the kayfabe concept of wrestling, you have to listen to the referee. You can't touch the referee. The referee is the law. So my gender ultimately shouldn't matter, but that is the first thing people see. And I also was very fortunate in the fact there weren't a lot of women. So I understood that I was getting opportunities that other people weren't simply because I was different. And that's part of wrestling and part of entertainment. If you offer something different that fits someone's product, you're going to get the role. So it's an understanding of like, I knew I was getting opportunities because I'm a woman, but I was keeping them because I'm talented. And that was really the important thing to me is I need to make sure that I am continuing to be the best version of myself so that I don't lose those opportunities. Because if I lose an opportunity, it reflects badly on all women. It's not just reflecting badly on me, kind of a thing, because there are so few of us. So everything that I do is paving a path for the women that are coming after me. And it's been really great being at AEW. Like, I reffed the first match in AEW history. It was Kip Sabian versus Sammy Guevara. So to have the very first match have a female referee with two male wrestlers on our flagship pay-per-view, and it was like, cool, we're getting that out of the way. Like, it is just a statement in and of itself that this is normal. This is what you see. And now it's one of those things where we see women in the main event. Where like I'm a referee, like for instance, a while back we did the no DQ match with the women. So it was Ruby and Willow versus Anna Jay and Ty Conti,
Right.
versus with me as the ref. And we didn't push it as, oh my God, this is women in the main event, because it wasn't the first time we did it. But there are literally five women on TV, half of them are bleeding, and it was just a thing. And that's really what all of that work and all of that grind that I did, that all these other wrestlers have did, that all these other referees have done, where when you don't actually think about it and you're not like checking that box anymore, and it's just, you're just existing in a space, like that's when you start to hit equality. So it's a very long drawn out answer of
No,
like,
no problem.
I've been lucky that I've been supported, but there's a lot of like, you just have to kind of think about how everything you're doing affects the broader picture, because people do have that unconscious bias of like, oh, well, you know, she's kind of like aggressive and stuff. It's like, yeah, that's my job. I'm supposed to be aggressive. I'm a freaking official.
Right.
So it's been tricky to kind of think about and navigate, but AEW has been such a great place to be supportive and allow me to sort of, you know, constantly punch holes in that glass ceiling.
That's a great answer, you know, and I was kind of digesting what you said as you were saying it, and I'm thinking about the journey that you had to take because of you being different in what, you know what I mean, one, what your career path is, and two, the route you decided to take. And one, I have to give a shout out, you know, I have to give a shout out to Seattle and the West Coast. That is my second home, man. I tell people all the time, like I'm here in Florida, but whenever I come out there, I've been out there 3 times. I love it. I don't want to leave. I am like, that is my style, man. Like,
So, fun story. I still live in Seattle. I've lived there for like 17 years. I moved up for undergrad and I just stayed
right.
out there because that's like where the video game industry is. all my husband still works in games, my friends still work in games. So it's like, that's kind of where I've built my life. And then having coworkers go, wait a minute, you fly cross country every week. I'm like, yeah, if you've been to Seattle, you know how great it is. And then we did the show in Seattle earlier this year. And everyone was like, oh my God, this place is magical. I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you that for 3 years. No one wanted to leave. Everyone wanted to stay. Like, why do we have to go down to Portland for this show? Like, sure, yeah, it's Portland and stuff, but like, Seattle's great. Like, yeah, no, it makes the cross country flights worth it, because you just come back to this wonderfully magical place. And as long as you can deal with, like, you know, the long gray that is winter, the summers are well worth it. Like, the summers are friggin' San Diego, not a cloud in the sky, 80 degrees, wearing shorts. Like, it's beautiful. And we put up with that long gray all year just to deal with that. I'm like, yes, this is why I live here.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna come back to this. Okay. But let's switch gears for a second, because I like to switch gears.
Cool.
And bring some other things to the audience. Now, I've been doing a lot of research, because I am going to be doing so. I'm gonna say this on the podcast now, because you know, you guys will see what I'm saying right now when I'm about to say this. I'm going to be doing some like remixes to like classic rock records.
Ooh.
And like a rap rock type thing. And the first thing I started studying was the whole scene, grunge scene from the 90s, 80s and 90s in the whole Washington area. So obviously Pearl Jam, Nirvana, all that. I've been studying it for like 2 years now, and I wanted to wait for the right time to start doing it, because timing is everything. You just don't want to do everything and not do your research. And obviously me growing up more on the hip hop side and kind of like the Red Hot Chili Pepper side, I had to do my history on learning about a lot of bands, information that I didn't know. So I've been doing a lot of my homework, listening to the past albums and stuff for the past like 2 years, just been studying it, engraved in it. So tell me a little bit about the music scene out there for you, because we're about the same age. I'm a year younger. So
yeah,
tell me a little bit about the music scene out there, because it's amazing out there. Tell me about the music scene and you growing up on the music side of things. Who are some of your favorite bands and the music side of what Seattle represents, Washington in general?
Oh man, I mean, Seattle just has this rich history of music, right? Like you mentioned grunge, you mentioned Nirvana. Like, we have a new hockey team, we're in our second season, we're doing pretty well, and every time the Kraken score a goal, they start playing Lithium from Nirvana.
From Nirvana,
because
right.
that is such a like a iconic Seattle song, and they've incorporated like a Kraken chant into it, and it's just like, this is so much someone thought about, how do I present the essence of Seattle in a new sports franchise? And the first time I was at a game and I heard that, I'm like, yeah, this is great. I actually grew up in California, Northern California. And growing up, I listened to whatever my parents listened to.
Right.
They were really big into like late 80s, early 90s. I was big into ska growing up, just being in the Bay Area, like, just all of the bands that were coming out of there, huge, real big Fish fans, Suburban Legends, all those guys. And then once I kind of moved up to Seattle and understanding everything else, like my world just sort of opened up with music, because before I was listening to whatever everyone else was giving me. And now I'm listening to all of these other types of music. And I had been a ballet dancer for a really long time. And when I moved up to Washington, I started experimenting in different styles of dance. And dance is really great to introduce you to different kinds of music and let you appreciate music for, like, I always say that, like, watching a ballerina do hip hop is always kind of funny, because we always know like one and two and three and four, and it's always classical. But the moment you throw a ballerina in a hip hop number and they start saying, okay, one E and a two E and a, and I'm like, counts don't have noises. Like, what are you doing? How are you doing this?
Wow.
Right now?
Okay.
Right. And it's like, I know plie and grand plie. I don't know all of these other levels in between. So now I'm trying to translate music into my body and how I'm moving. And all of a sudden I have this new appreciation for music. So now I listen to everything, whether it's like, indie music, whether it's, I still listen to Scott Cake is my favorite band. I listen to a lot of hip hop. Rick Ross is like my favorite like artist. So I'm all over the place. And I think that's just a combination of moving to a different area when I was still in like a very transformative part of my life, but also being an entertainer and being a performer for so long and being able to appreciate different forms of media. Like, it's it's kind of crazy. Like, I just like everything.
Right. So that's a great, see, that was kind of my life too, because I grew up on the hip hop side of things. And so when I was younger, hip hop side, like old R&B, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, stuff like that. That's really where my grandmother imprinted it. And then I started on R&B, got to hip hop. But my mom was always playing Dave Matthews Band. She was always playing.
I love Dave Matthews Band. I love Matchbox 20.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, all that time, from that time period, Blink-182, Disturbed, all that time. Like
Green Day, like old Green Day, like before American Idiot.
Old Green Day, yeah. Green Day, yes, yes. Like those days, that's all my mother was playing. And my younger sister put me on to a lot of bands that was out there too. Avenged Sevenfold, all that. She put me to all those. So it opened my horizons to really understand what great music is from all different genres. But these past 2 years, I've been studying it and saying, okay, what are the classic projects? What are the classic metal bands, thrash bands, ska? You know what I mean? Like, just different bands and different types of music, because you realize how much it opens your horizons to life by hearing different perspectives. And then you realize that a lot of us are going through the same lot of shit. It's just we're expressing it in different creative ways. So, you know, I sat back and I thought about it. I'm like, okay, let me really sit back and really start going to these shows, these concerts, and see what's happening. So I'm going to see Metallica when they come.
Okay, so I've been to Metallica. Not only have I been to Metallica, I was in the Snake Pit front row. It was insane because Metallica is my husband's favorite band, and I had never really listened to them before.
How long ago was this?
It was at the Seahawks Stadium. It was probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's the one with Rob at bass. Okay, well, Rob.
Right. And it was just insane because not only are you listening to an album, but now when you see them perform it live and you see how a band is, like, it's honestly the best concert I've ever been to. It was just insane, like, the aesthetic that they had and how they it completely changed. Because I wasn't really a big Metallica fan. I'm like, I'll go because my husband wants to see them. Who knows how long they're going to be touring again? Like, they're getting older.
Right.
So it's like, we'll go. We ended up getting a hold of, like, Snake Pit tickets. And just like being there, and I'm like, this is the greatest concert I've ever been to, just because I'm appreciating the art form for what it is, right? Like, there's so many things that, like, I don't understand. Like, I don't like horror movies. I don't like being scared. Life is already dark and scary. Like, I would prefer to be happy and cheerful. Like, Ted Lasso is my favorite show. To tell you a lot about me. But, like, I can appreciate the people that enjoy that form of media.
Yeah.
Because there's something for everyone. So I'm less likely to say, oh, that sucks. I'm like, I don't like that. Or I've tried that once or twice. I'm not a big fan. Like, it's, I think people kind of are very close-minded to it. And I'd prefer people approach media and entertainment with a more open mind.
Absolutely. So what is something that is about yourself, that you feel, because we all are work in progresses each and every day. What is something about yourself that you're willing to share that you feel like you can improve as a person on? Something that you feel that, you know what, this is a sore spot. This is a, I hate to use the word and everything for trigger, but what is a sore spot or something within yourself that, not just as an entertainer, but as a person, you could feel like you can improve on just to help you be an everyday better person? Because I'll start with me saying for myself, sometimes I do feel like I'm extremely too nice when I don't need to be. Not in a bad way. I don't treat anybody
right,
bad.
But I get what you mean. Right.
I overextend myself sometimes when I don't need to. I've done enough. You know what I mean? Sometimes my mom's like, you did a lot. You don't have to, you could be a giver, but not overextend to the point where, you know what I mean? That person still kind of got to earn it. They got to, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of handing everything out there. You know what I mean? You don't give them the rope. And then if they take it, let, you know, if they need you for advice, be there. But that's something about myself that I don't have to overextend. You know what I mean? What is something about yourself?
So it's funny you say that because I was literally going to say the same thing. Like that's been the biggest thing that I've been working. This is why we're friends, man.
Absolutely.
We are
Absolutely.
the same. This is the biggest thing that I've been working on, I think, especially since I joined wrestling. Like I'm a bit of a workaholic. That's the other thing I'm working on is being comfortable with that word and understanding that like I work too much. I overextend myself. And it's prioritizing the things in my life that are important, but not just like, oh, I need to do this project. I need to do this project. Like, I need to get enough sleep. I need to spend quality time with my husband where we're not just sitting in the same room doing our own thing. Like, we need to actually go out and do something. I need to worry about my nutrition. I need to stop like skipping the gym when I'm busy. That needs to be my priority for the day. So it's prioritizing the things that are important to me that I need to stay healthy
Right.
and knowing that, like, okay, cool. I have like my Mondays, I have six meetings for various different projects that I'm doing at AEW, but I'm only home generally Mondays and Fridays. So like if I need to go to a doctor's appointment, it's very likely I'm not going to go to a meeting. And back in the day, I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to miss this meeting. How do I do it? It's like, no, I have to take care of myself. And it's being more open to trusting people and saying, hey, I got to do this thing. I'm going to miss this meeting. Can you just update me after the fact? And knowing that some people are going to be able to do that and some people aren't. And then finding out where you can trust people, right? The other thing too is understanding the value of your time, because we have a lot of skill sets, and I think as people who hustle, you have to develop that. It's like, cool, I want to start being good at like promoting myself on video. Great, I better learn how to make like video. Like, I'm going to download Final Cut Pro. I'm going to start doing videos. I'm going to make some reels and shit. Like, I'm going to do all of that. So when you inevitably have that friend come to you and say, hey, I'm trying to put together this video, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, cool, here's my rate. And they go, oh, you're gonna charge me for this. I'm like, yeah, dude, my time is valuable. Like, I have a lot of people who ask me, like, you don't do indies anymore. I'm like, I do. I just charge more money than I used to when I was on the indies because I do this full time now. This pays my bills. And because I live where I do, doing an indie on the East Coast is a 2-day investment because I have to fly out there, I do the show, I fly back. So I need to make it worth my time. And it means that I hear no a lot more. And I need to be more comfortable with that. It's I'm willing to like, you know, there's the asking rate, the brother rate, and the fuck you rate, where it's like, I really don't want to do this. This is my normal rate, and I'm gonna do this out of favor. Like I hit all of those. Right. And like maybe that's like too much behind the curtain, but you have to figure out where you draw the line and when things are worthwhile for you, because there's only so many hours in a day and we are forever getting closer to dying. So let me enjoy my life as much as I possibly can without overextending myself while at the same time enjoying life to the fullest.
Man. Yes, what you just said is Bible. I swear I deal with this all the time. And it's funny because I'm gonna say this in the and this is not the nice guy me saying this, but this is just to you people out there in the audience, you don't understand if you're in this and you're at a certain place, how much gets asked of you and how much your time is so valuable with everything that is going on and how much people are constantly asking you to do things. And look, man, my friend told my granddad, my friend and my granddad said the same thing in another in different ways. They always said this, okay, you my homie, cool. Got a lawyer. Hey man, oh yeah, you my friend's homie. Yeah, now I can do this deal for you. I can do this deal for you, and you can do this real rate. But if you really want to get it done, you know what I mean? You'll pay me my normal rate. You pay the person normal
Exactly.
rate and not take the homeboy deal because one, you get it done that way, and two, you don't always have to look for the favor. People do not want to play the long game anymore. That's the thing. Everybody wants the satisfaction now. Nobody wants to starve a little bit for it. Nobody wants to play their chips right to play the long-term game by doing the right thing. You can never go wrong by doing the right thing, but also playing the long game. Everything isn't about, it's either you got to know what's the difference. When is the money and when is your legacy? You have to know, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's the same thing as like when your friends start selling merch and they have t-shirts and they start having partnerships with companies and they have sale codes and all these things, like instead of asking my friend, hey, can I get your merch shirt? I buy their shirt because I understand that means more. We get royalties in our deals and AEW tracks all that stats. So I know that buying a shirt and wearing it not only supports my friend, but it also tells the company, I really support this person. And honestly, it's like $25 plus shipping. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, I make good money. I can do things like support the things I want with the money I have. But it's one of those things where you have to just choose how you're supporting people. And at the end of the day, like, we're all artists. And I do a very physical thing. Like, we had Dynamite last night. I did a 20-minute main event. And then I did the opener for Rampage that we taped after. So in ring, I was in ring for like 35 minutes constantly. And my knees are shot today. I'm 36. I haven't been doing this for very long, but I know that there is an end of the road for me. Mm-hmm. So I need to play the long game and figure out how do I make money on this as long as I possibly can? Because there's only so much time that I'm an in-ring performer, but brand exists forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the thing people don't understand. It's a thing about the branding and about how playing the long game and knowing what you have to do in order to be successful and also to keep it. Everybody wants to get it, but keeping it is a whole nother battle because, you know, it's easier. Like, I remember when me and Swerve had this conversation with Jericho and I come up with this logical thing called the sniper mindset, where it's like, everybody wants to be, I love John Wick, I love him, but everybody wants to be John Wick, kick the doors down, run through everybody and just shoot 15 million people. When you really, if you do everything like Hitman, like a, not Brett Hitman, but like a Hitman, the video game Hitman.
Yeah, Hitman. That's where I went.
You do everything in consequence. You do everything under, you know what I mean? In private, you do everything as quiet as possible. And it's a sniper shot. Like the one person that's in the military that can sit in the camouflage, that can sit still and just wait for the target and take the one shot. That's all you need. And as we get older, we have to perfect that shot instead of trying to do everything. We try to bust through the door for everything. And sometimes we have to learn how to take the smart shot because it's more accurate and we get more done that way. And while everybody else is trying to bust through the door, you're able to be ambitious, but also exercise patience and know what you're doing. Now, let me ask you this question, right? If there's anything that you would change about your line of work and what you do, what would be something that is for the positive? What is something that you would change within your line of work to say, you know what, if this changed, it'd be better for yourself or for the business in general?
I think the biggest thing is I just need to be more comfortable asking for help. Like,
me too.
Dude, like, so like I work with AEW Heels and it's a fantastic organization trying to build more support for female wrestling fans. And we have a team of people running that. And I run like the website, I do tech support, I do moderation, I host events, I work with partners. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that because I really care about this and I really want to help it grow. But then there's those moments where I'm like, oh God, I'm like way too busy. So I had some stuff going on in my personal life back in December. And I told the team of girls, I'm like, I can't do the December event. I can be there, but I can't organize it. I can't do anything. And just being able to step back and say, I need your help. Please help me with this. Because there's a sense of vulnerability there that people are just not comfortable with. But also it's easy to say, ask for help, but make sure you're asking the right people for help. Like, there are certain people that I trust more than others that when I say I need help with this, they 100% understand me and they have the capacity to help me. And I think it's a two-part problem where you have to be comfortable asking, but you also have the people that you can ask that can support you. But you also can't take advantage of that, right? Like, you need to be kind of what we were talking about before. You need to be there for other people. So when I go to those women and say, I need help with this because I'm just slammed on all these other things, like we're currently planning like our next like March event. And one of the girls is like, I'm busy. I have a meet and greet. I'm like, do your thing. I'll handle this one. She was like, are you going to be okay? I'm like, hey, remember back in December when you banked this thing that you didn't realize at the time that you were putting in the IOU bank? And I said, I need your help on something. This is me paying you back. Like, and it's remembering those moments and just being there for people, right?
Yep. And that's the definition. Everybody asks you, how you and Swerve been able to rock all these years? Because it's, we got each other's back.
We have a partnership
and we have a partnership in business, and we started in business, and then that became my brother. It wasn't my brother and we did this together. We didn't know each other when we started very well, but we grew that respect and that love for each other throughout it. So now, you know what I mean? We come together to do our separate things. It's always within the same pot of help of the team, because that's how it's supposed to go. Now, let me ask you this question. Let me switch gears a little bit. This is not Tom Hanks Castaway question. This is not that extreme. But obviously, let's say, you was on a cruise. You was just on a cruise. I couldn't make it. I had to get my health
right. I love it.
I wanted to go. I was invited. I had to cabin, everything. I'm there next year. I told Swerve, I need my get back. I have to be there. Thank you, Chris, for the invite as well. Thank you all you guys for the lovely
invitation. It's so fun. Easily the best loop of the year. It's just so fun.
Let me ask you this. So obviously, okay, let's say you're going on that cruise.
Okay.
And we go back to our younger days. You get a CD player. Now you can only take one album with you. What you bringing?
Ooh. Do I have to choose something back in the day, or can I choose something more recent?
Good question. I will say this. You could choose something recent, but it has to be in like CD form, like back in the day.
Oh, okay. I would say, this is going to be kind of random and out there. There's this band called Cloud Cult. They do like really like experimental indie stuff, and their shows are really great. They have people in their band that sing and play instruments, but then in between will stop and then turn around and paint something. And they literally physically paint a picture that is then auctioned off and the money is given to charity.
Damn.
So it's this really cool multimedia experience. And on top of that, like the most recent time I saw them, it was in a church. So the audio was just beautiful. And it was like an out of body experience, but it's a band I listen to on Spotify. So it's like, and I've been listening to them for years, but their most recent album is one of those where I heard a song and I'm like, this is literally me right now, where the lyrics go, this is the best time of my life. And the whole thing is you realizing, even though you're going through all this bullshit, this is literally the best time of my life. And there's songs on there about, you know, people that are sick and overcoming things. There's songs about loss. There's songs about just the human experience. And I think if I was like stranded somewhere or on a, like just somewhere where I needed something, I think that's the album right now that speaks to me the most, because it covers so much of what I can possibly feel on an emotional spectrum in my current version of life.
Okay. Multiple choice questions here. I like to switch to keep things on the spot here. Got a little note
switching
here.
Switching it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked in different ways. Okay. You got to pick one or the other. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Nirvana or Pearl Jam?
Nirvana.
Okay. Kurt Cobain or Dave Grohl?
Dave Grohl.
Okay.
So like Kurt Cobain is great and has done a lot for music, but you see who Dave Grohl was in Nirvana, and you see him gain the success in a different role in Foo Fighters.
Yeah, dude, I love Foo Fighters, man.
Like to be...
Listen.
And not saying that Kurt Cobain wasn't, right? But like to see someone who is that good, it's like Jericho, right? Like he's a rock star at the same time he's the best wrestler in the world. It's seeing someone who is like that good at everything. It's just like, you know that they're given their whole to it. And I think that's why I'm like immediately just like Dave Grohl, just because I associate with, he has so much success because he works for it and you see it. No disrespect to Kurt Cobain.
Absolutely. Do you tip on takeout?
Absolutely. And at a minimum, 20%.
Beautiful answer.
I'm at a point in my life where I have a lot of success, and there's people who are working in the gig economy who don't have that, and this is the only thing they have. So who am I to be stingy?
Amen to that. Okay. If you're obviously you're walking down the street. You remember the Showtime at the Apollo type billboards?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna try to ask this to make you think. You walking down the street. Now these are two big billboards, right? Two big platforms. Now you can either on the right, it's your gaming company.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It's your gaming company. This is your baby. This is your gaming company. This is what you made from the very beginning. This is the presentation of your gaming company, your thing. You did it. You have to do the presentation. Your left, on this side, is you. It is now. Oh no! Before, disclaimer. Before I ask that. Before I say that.
Asterisk.
Asterisk. Before I say that, you have to choose one. There's like, oh no, I have somebody do it. No, you have to choose one. The other one, you're just gonna miss out on, and
it's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
Okay.
Or this one to your left, you. Your husband, you get to see prime 1993 Nirvana live. What are you doing?
The video games.
Oh, wow. You gonna do the video games?
Yes. So here's my reasoning and why I just answer so quickly. My job in video games, I started as a programmer, so I'm writing code. I wrote tools that took art that converted it to a format that you could read easily from a disk. Like really basic stuff that's not really exciting. It's super boring. But from that, I became what we call in video games a producer, which is someone who manages the schedule, manages your team and your resources. There's a concept called the Iron Triangle, where you've got three sides of scope, resources, and time. Oh, so you're constantly managing as your design of your game gets bigger. You now have to hire more people and get more money and get more time, but you don't have that.
Right.
Like you're never going to get more time. People are just going to keep adding shit, not pay you anymore, and just say, we'll get it done in the same amount of time. So now you're moving all these puzzle pieces around to try and make it happen. And a lot of that is what I do in wrestling. I'm taking other people's story and I'm helping figure out how to present it or how I can help them be successful. How, like, there's nothing I can point at in a video game and say I did that for the last like seven games that I made.
Wow.
It's a tricky thing to just say like, well, what do you do in games? It's like, oh, well, I work with people. And like, it's not sexy from like a like bullet point, like the billboard thing. But hold on, let me turn off this AC because it's blowing really hard.
No problem.
Ugh. Sorry, let me pick that back up. It's not very sexy from like a bullet point standpoint. But the feeling I get in this of helping other people be successful is the thing that really drew me from programming into production. So there were moments where I had a game announced on stage at E3 at a Nintendo press conference, which was like, even though I wasn't the one on the stage, I was sitting in the crowd with my team and going, we fucking did that. And for all of the bullshit you put up with in games, like, You work 80, 90, 100-hour weeks. The end of the project, people get laid off. And you're constantly changing companies. And it is, I've seen friends get divorced in games. I've seen, you know, friends grow up, get out of college. Like, I've seen them have kids in the industry. I've seen them leave the industry because they get burned out. So to have those moments where you can say, we did that. Like, that is just, it's an indescribable feel. Like, that's probably the thing I miss most from games is like that aha moment of, look at this amazing thing we created. It's like making a baby, but it's on a disc, right?
Right.
And then when it's done and it goes out to the wild, then you're just done and you move on to the next thing. And it's this like microcosm of time and effort that exists in that moment. So that's why I'd immediately like, oh, I'm going there. Because I remember that. Like, that was the thing that I was like addicted to when I was making games, is chasing that feeling, knowing that you're going through months of bullshit so that you can get to that moment of having your game announced and seeing people lose their minds over it and just going, this is why we do this.
You know, it's funny. It's the same thing that I tell musicians, the same thing. because it's all of on the same thing. It's that journey and that build up to the point of you know, the project when it comes out. So it's that understanding of, okay, once I release this to the public, it's to the consumption of them. They can take it. It's like making an album. You just all this build up to that release date. And you're working hard, you're video gaming, making an album, anything. And then once the people consume it and it's out, then you're like, okay, what's next? And you're constantly chasing that dopamine feeling of you know, the excitement from releasing the project. And we're creatives, so a lot of times it's a lot of people do not understand the mental strain that comes with this, the up and down moods that come with creation, the time that it takes, and also too the way that it can mess with your confidence too, because a lot of this is, you know, a lot of this is winging it and just going off a feeling. All this is off a feeling. None of this is, you can go to school for it. You can, teachers can tell you anything. But a lot of this stuff is how I'm feeling and how it feels to me.
And your gut.
And then your gut. Like, I know, you know, you have a process as well, help with making the video game that's going to be coming out. And, you know, five of my songs are on there. So thank you, guys. Thank you, hey, Mikey. Thank
shout
you.
Out, shout out.
Thank you, everybody. I just have to plug that. You know, I'm very blessed to say that totally. Music's in the video game. But outside of that, just seeing how much you've had to, how much work you have to put in and how much work you've had to put in. Let me ask you this. Has it been a frustrating process with the creation of this? Or has it been, okay, this is good. We're putting the work in. It's coming out fine. What has been the ups and downs with this moment, with the creation of the game, and also what, you know, with gaming in general?
So just to correct something, because there's a lot of people who think that I'm on the console game and I'm not actually working on it. That's Kenny's baby. I'm working on other stuff.
Okay. So the stuff that you're working on. Okay. Thank you for correcting.
Right. So, oh, totally. Yeah. It's like people are like, oh yeah, you're like the gaming person. So you're working on this, right? I'm like, actually, no, I've only seen the things that you have seen.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Yeah. So I'm sort of like overseeing, I can't say what, but there's a number of announced projects I'm working on. We shipped Elite General Manager during the pandemic, and that was a big thing. So the process of that is really interesting because it's different from what I did previously. And it's hard to, like, I left games for a solid, 5 months. My last job, I was doing some virtual reality stuff, and the company ran out of funding, and I got laid off. Luckily, timing worked out, and I got hired full-time by AEW about a month later. Mm. But there was a good moment of time where I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not making games anymore. And then someone at AEW got a hold of my resume and said, hey, you've made video games? We have this whole game division we're starting up. So I'm back in it. You try to leave, you can't leave. But my role has changed from the, I'm directly affecting the team and their morale and their day-to-day. And now I'm sort of acting as the publisher almost, where a lot of what I am doing is making sure that AEW is represented correctly, mm-hmm. that our licensing is used properly, that our logos are correct, that all of like tattoos on characters, dear God, the amount of emails I have about tattoos on characters right now, because like artist ownership and just making sure that you're still keeping to the essence, but you're not like being disrespectful, but you're legally keeping everything in order. Like all of these things, it's understanding certification for Apple and Google and all of these various other things. It's managing release timelines. It's managing marketing. It's all of these things that like, there are people that I worked with when I was making games where they were my publisher and they took care of this. And now I'm the person kind of looking at that. So I had to be okay with my role changing on that. But at the same time, this is also me being the team player because this is the person AEW needs me to be on this project. So like a lot of what I'm doing now is making sure that our company is represented well. And that comes down to like, we have one of the things that's really, really important for me in video games is diversity. It was important to me before AEW, and now it's important to me, especially now, because our roster is so diverse and wrestling itself has become very diverse. So not everyone is a giant, muscly dude, right? So there's conversations I'm having like, her boobs are not that big. Like, And part of that is being a woman at the table and being comfortable saying that. And it's like, it's not a slight on anybody. It's bodies are shaped differently.
Yeah.
So why do we have to all have the same breast size? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. If you have someone on the roster who looks different than someone else, like, they should look different in a digital representation. And that's really important, making sure that, like, I know that this person cares about X. So I need to be the person that speaks up for them when they're not around. Like, it's a really, really important conversation to be had. But at the same time, I'm still making sure that, like, we're going to hit our deadlines, that, you know, legally we're following all the rules and stuff, that I'm being that advocate for our brand, but at the same time, I get to be the advocate for the people I work with. So it's very similar to what I used to do, but it's changed a lot. So that's sort of my current role in video games. It's just, I'm constantly growing and learning, and I'm still learning new things, and it's super fun.
Absolutely. A few last things I'm going to ask you here. What is something, what is a hidden talent about yourself that many people do not know about?
Oh boy. I mean, I'm a pretty open book now at this point. I mean, it's not exciting, but like, I can sleep through anything. Which is really great when you are on the road all the time.
That's a talent when you get old.
Right. And like, my husband is the lightest sleeper in the world. So like, there was a moment the other day, we have cats, and one of them was like puking in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. And I got up out of bed, got him a roll of paper towels. He's cleaning it. And I went back to bed. I don't remember a damn thing. And I was like, how did you sleep? And he's like, I slept like shit because Bailey was puking. And I'm like, really? And he goes, you don't remember this? I'm like, nope. I'm just out. Like, so I'm trying to get more sleep, but the sleep I get is quality.
Yeah, quality sleep, especially with the schedule and what you're doing. Oh yeah, right. Like that right. To be able to do that is amazing. Who is the person that you could say, I like to call this segment Shout Out to Strong Friend. Who is the person that you call, that the first person that you call when something's going wrong, or something that maybe someone people don't know, maybe it's someone that is not, that maybe not, might not be your husband, but someone that you call, you know, they're going to pick up, you can vent to, and that is always going to have your back. And they don't have to be in the business. They can just be somebody, you know, if you just want to shout them out, who's that person?
It's my best friend, Kyle. Like, without a doubt.
Shout out to Kyle.
So I let me talk about, I don't think I've ever talked about Kyle on a podcast. So I'm going to take a moment to like put him over how great
he is. Put him
over.
Shout out to Kyle. Tell me about him.
So Kyle and I met at, the first place I worked was a place called Fifth Cell. We worked on a game called Scribblenauts. It was awesome. Kyle worked at a couple other places. We actually went to school together. I didn't know it at the time, but like, he was in a master's program. I was in an undergrad. So we went to school together. We met up at this one place. We literally quit on the same day. And then we went to the same company. We went to Wargaming's mobile studio. We started on the same day.
Right.
We both got laid off. And then I went to a place called City State. They were working on the spiritual successor of Dark Age of Camelot. He went to Blizzard. And eventually we both had horrible experiences. And we said, okay, let's meet up at the same place again. So we worked in a place called VReal on virtual reality. And now, as I mentioned, video games is all about nepotism. Kyle is my husband's boss. So I get to hear both sides of a conversation that happened at work. It's great. It's like, I'm just eating popcorn all day. It's awesome. So it's like, oh my God, I heard about this thing from Kyle. And Steve's like, oh no, I heard about this thing. And I'm just like, oh, this is amazing. But Kyle is that guy. Kyle is that guy that understands me, that I have always been a go, 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 go. And he's never been upset that I'm not the one to reach out and say, hey dude, we need to get coffee. He'll text me and go, it's been a while since we've gotten coffee. Please find time in your schedule. And I'm like, okay, cool. There's no offense on any side. It's just, that's the reality. He's got two kids now. So he's super busy. He's basically like general manager of the studio that he works at. So it's like, we're both doing our thing. And he's like, I gave him access to my calendar and I have access to his. He's like, I see you're free on this day. Like, you're flying home. I don't know if you have enough time. It's like, he's being that friend that understands my life and he's going that extra mile. But there's so many people that I'll like have a Zoom call with, or I'll catch up with. But Kyle is the one guy. He's my ride or die, my day one, where if he's like, I need to see you in person, I'm like, let's make this happen. And I book like an hour and a half coffee with him every few weeks. And we just pick up where we left off. And then I text him every other day, constantly talking about stuff. And he is just my guy. He's fucking awesome.
Shout out to Kyle, man. You know, you need someone like that in your life.
Everybody
you know
needs
what I
a
mean?
Kyle in their
You,
life.
You need a Kyle in your life. Everybody has that. Everybody needs to have that person that they could just pick up and just talk to. You know what I mean? Like Swerve's become that person for me. I'm not just saying
Right.
his name, but me and him will pick up the PlayStation chat. We'll talk on the phone. We call it real time radio, and we'll get on.
I think I've actually heard you guys talking once. There was a time in a hotel where Serv was in the room next to me, and he was like getting super heated on like a gaming chat. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to be that guy. That is
that's
definitely
us.
you.
That's
like,
us. That's
the
us.
middle of the night, I'm like, fuck, I got to put a bra on. Like, and I just walk down the hall and knock on the door. I'm like, can you please like keep it down? And he's like, oh, bro, I'm so sorry.
Yo,
I'm going to blame you for that.
It's crazy because we're in this Madden league and it is competitive. We don't argue no more. Like he's better than me, so we don't argue
no
more.
There's always a healthy amount of shit talking that happens.
Yes. Now, see, there was a time. It was a previous time where there was a chat. I will publicly say this. There was a chat when Swerve was in WWE and he was with Hit Row, and it was me. It was Top Dollar, Adrian Adonis. It was one of Top Dollar's personal friends, me and Swerve's personal friend Ian, myself, Swerve. That was the most competitive shit talking league. Oh my God, that chat. Oh my God, I was talking cat. But that's just how it is. And now we're in a different league. Sean Dean's in it.
Oh, I love Captain.
Sammy Callahan's in it. So a lot of us are.
Oh, I love Sammy.
So a lot of us are in there now. It's very calm now. It's not like it was, but that's how it be. But you, it's always good to. But the point is, it's always good to have that. That great friend that has your back. You know what I mean? Especially in the line of work of what we do, as we said earlier in the conversation, you know, you just find friends that are in the game and the business. And then a lot of times when you move out of there or do different things, you know what I mean? It's hard to find that. Last question I want to ask you is when it comes to your legacy, right? When it comes to your legacy, it's all said and done. And everybody asks about Aubrey, they say, hey, you know what I mean? Like they say, when you leave this world, all you have is that dash between your name on your headstone and for what you did between that time. When it comes to your legacy, what do you want people to say about you?
I want people to say that I left wrestling better than I found it. Like, I'm trying to not only make a name for myself, I'm trying to make a name for referees. We sort of, AEW sort of brought back the idea of referees as characters. So it's really, really cool to be a part of that. It's cool to see like my sisters in stripes killing it. And I do a lot of like reaching out to the women in the indies who are coming up, the female referees, because they're just like, I need tape study and I'm having a hard time understanding feedback and whatnot. So I'll sit on a call with them for 2 hours. There's a girl in Italy I work with and we're having a chat like later this month. So it's great to be able to give back. And it's one of those things, you don't do it so that people can see it. You do it so that people can feel it. So that when the next generation comes into wrestling, whatever challenges I faced, I don't want them to be there. Sure, there are going to be challenges. I don't want it to just be easy for everyone. You should work hard for whatever it is you want. But I just want to leave wrestling better than I found it. And I found it in a really good place. So I just want to leave it really, really good.
You know, Aubrey, I once again, I thank you for not only this time, but I thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're trailblazing. A lot of times we relate in this way. People like us who are trailblazers, who are kind of like the first for something, a lot of times we don't get our roses. You know what I mean? I've been doing entrance music for wrestlers for almost 10 years now. You've been
forever.
You've been on your grind forever. And a lot of times when you're a pioneer at something, or when you're one of the first, or you're one at one of the top positions, or one of the rarities of it, especially from the starting point, a lot of times people try to find comparisons. And when you're the pioneer of something, and when you're pioneering and doing something, and it's hard a lot of times to get your roses sometimes. And people are appreciate what you're doing because you're kind of the blueprint of what they see. And, you know, sometimes your hard work could be taken for granted. And I just want to thank you for one, always being a great person to me, and for being a hard worker, for all that you're doing. It's all going to pay off, and it is paying off. I know sometimes this could be a fight. It is. It constantly is, especially with ideas and doing what's right, being good by people, and being around your peers, which sometimes you do or don't get along with. But it's great that you're keeping your head above water. You're working hard. You know what I mean? You're working hard. You're doing everything that you can to, you know what I mean, to leave this, like you said, leave this better than the way you found it. And every time I've seen you, you've always shown me love, and it's never changed. And I appreciate you. Love you like a sister. Thank you for everything you're doing for me, for the business. Keep pushing forward. I'm always there if you need to talk to me. And take care of yourself and keep killing it. Please keep
doing. I love you, man. I love you too. This is so much fun, and I feel like my cup is full. So thanks for giving me this today.
Amen. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm always here, and don't let nobody stop you from what you're doing. I know how this is. This is a lot. You got a family. I got a family. It's tough. There's a lot on our shoulders. It is. But you know, if you need someone to talk to, I'm here, and keep killing it. You already know. You take care. I love you. Take care. And I look forward to talking to you next time. I'll see you in Sunrise when they come.
Hell yeah, man.
I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
All right. So thank you, guys. This is TZ's Table. This is my friend here, Harvey. Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe. Show love. All those good things. I'm on TZ. May God bless. Peace.